Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Trey Carey, the lead pastor of Modern Worship. We hope this week's message connects with you and helps you connect with God. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBorough. We also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays, both in the sanctuary and in the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the idea of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. We hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life.
I was born on August 1st, 1977, at 8:21 a.m. at the old Rutherford County Hospital, right here in Murfreesboro, over on the corner of Highland and, is it Bell Street? My mom and dad, Ginger, my mom and dad have a picture of me the day I was born, just raising my little head up in that little bed that they keep you in on the day that you were born. I think they're a little proud of that one. There are a lot of little details about that day. The night before, my mom went to see Star Wars, the original Star Wars. They went to eat at Pancake Pantry. They played tetherball. There's so many details about that day that I love. I love that story. It's incredibly meaningful to me, no matter how many times I hear it or I tell it. And what I want to tell you this morning is I don't recall anything about that day, but I remember because the members of my family helped me remember. In fact, my mom helps me remember every year on my birthday that story, because it's part of my story and it's a part of our story. And the reason why I bring that up today is because in some ways it's the same thing with our baptism. Some of us don't recall our baptism, although some do, and that's a gift in and of itself. But we can all remember our baptism. In fact, it's our responsibility as members of the family of God to help each other remember, to remember what we believe about God and what God believes about us, to remember where we belong as part of the body of Christ, to remember that God is at work in our lives and who we are becoming through the work of the Holy Spirit. See, in our faith tradition, we have some words that we say every time someone's baptized to help us all remember. We say this, we say, through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation, and we're given new birth through water and the Spirit. And then we say all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. When someone's confirmed, like our students, it'll be confirmed in a few weeks, we say that through confirmation, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism. And we acknowledge what God is doing for us, and we affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. So whether it's infant baptism and confirmation, whether it's adult baptism, believer baptism, baptism begins and ends with God's grace. We define baptism as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And so we believe that it's God who initiates at baptism. And we respond as members of the faith community. We continually rely on God's grace, and we relinquish control of our lives on a daily basis. So God is the primary actor in baptism, and we respond. And with that belief, that's why we don't necessarily believe that the amount of water matters, and we don't really... the age when you're baptized doesn't really matter. We also believe that because that it's God who is the initiator and the actor in baptism, that that once you've been baptized, you don't need to be re-baptized. So today, we're going to be remembering our baptism, but we're not being re-baptized. Because what matters is God's grace, that we are receiving God's grace, and those who are responding are committing to growing in God's grace. For children, it's the parents who respond, and for adults and youth, they're the ones that respond. But it's always the faith community, the members of the family of God who respond and who promise to help that person remember. When someone's baptized, the whole congregation is invited to say these words, that we will surround this person with a community of love and forgiveness, that they may grow in their trust of God and be found faithful in their service to others. We will pray for them that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Part of surrounding that person with a community of love and forgiveness is to helping them remember three things that I think it's so easy for us to forget, things that I know I need to be reminded of. Number one is who we are and whose we are. Number two is where we belong among this body of Christ. And number three is what is God doing in and through our lives through the work of the Holy Spirit. And today's a special day in the life of our church. And I'm so thankful that we're doing this service today. It's called Remembering Your Baptism Sunday. So whether you've been baptized or not, it's an opportunity for us to be reminded, to remember together the work of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, not just in our lives, but in our midst, in our life together as a church. And our scripture lesson this morning is about Jesus's baptism. And I loved Ginger's message this morning because I think this scripture passage is this beautiful picture of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit active in this sacrament of baptism. And while Jesus's baptism and relationship is unique, this picture reminds us of something foundational about our relationship with God and our baptism. So I want you to hear these words from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is God's word for us this morning. So the first thing that this passage reminds us of is one of the most foundational and powerful truths of the Christian faith. It's a truth that's never more powerfully expressed than in our baptism. And it's a truth that I believe that if we truly believed it, if we continued to believe it every day, that our lives would be changed, that our relationships would be changed, that our church would never be the same. And that truth is this: we are who God says we are. Would you just say that with me? I am who God says I am. Ready? I am who God says I am. This is going to be a conversation today, so you guys got to be with me, okay? That was good. I am who God says I am. Listen to verses 16 and 17 again. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased." We need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. We live in a world that in 1,000 different ways tells us how we need to do this or do that. We need to buy this or wear that so that we can be who society thinks we should be. We need to listen to God's voice above all other voices. We live in a culture that tells us in so many different ways that we are defined by the color of our skin, by the sum of our education or our accomplishments, by the size of our houses or our bank accounts. We need to be reminded. We need to hear God's word, which says that we are God's beloved children, that we are treasured, adored, that we are worthy of respect and appreciation, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are and because of who God is. We need to be reminded of who we are and whose we are. Somebody needs to hear that this morning, and you don't need to just hear it. You need to remember it. But if you're like me, you have trouble remembering things on your own. That's the second thing this morning. In order to remember, we need other people to help us remember. I need other people because I literally forget things all the time. If you know me well, you know I may have shared this with you before, but I'm the last person to leave the church on Sunday because I'm walking around and picking up all the things that I left in all the different rooms in the church. I forget things all the time, but not just my Bible or my phone or my water bottle. I forget who I am. I forget where I belong. I forget where God is working in and through my life. And so I need other people to remind me. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said, "The gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness." Paul wrote this letter to the church in Corinth that reminds them of the powerful truth of where we belong. Listen to 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the one body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For we are one spirit. We were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all made to drink of one spirit." We need to be reminded, and we need to remind each other, not just who we are as individuals, but who we are as part of the members of the community of faith, part of what Paul calls the body of Christ. We need to be reminded and remind each other about where we belong and what part God is calling us to play, what unique contribution we have to make to the body of Christ. So the second truth I want you to remember this morning is this: we belong together. I want you to say this with me. No one belongs here more than me. Ready? No one belongs here more than me. This is a kind of a saying that our youth ministry has adopted this year, and I think it's so important, and they're really leading the way for us with this, on this idea of belonging. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done or haven't done, where you've been, what you've seen. No one belongs here more than you, because we belong together. God has wired us to be in community, and we need to be reminded of that. Last thing, Paul has a second letter to the church in Corinth. They really needed to be reminded of some things. And in that second letter, Paul reminds them of this last powerful truth. He says, "Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit." What I think Paul is reminding the members of this community of faith is that salvation, God's salvation, is this ongoing process that begins before we can ever respond to God's grace. And it continues on through the ups and downs of life, long after we make a public profession of faith. In fact, it's a lifelong journey of responding to God's grace. That's why we believe in these three different expressions of grace: prevenient grace, the grace that goes before us; justifying grace, the grace that makes us in right relationship with God through the death, life, and resurrection of Jesus Christ; and then the grace that continues, sanctifying grace, the grace that continues to shape us and mold us and remake us and remold us and refocus us and redirect us through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what salvation is all about, that God has saved us and is saving us. And with that understanding, eternal life is not just something that happens one day when I die and go to heaven. It starts now, and it continues on into eternity. And every step of the way, God is with us and for us and in us. So here's the last thing we need to be reminded of, and we need to remind each other of, that God is at work in our lives. I want you to turn to someone and say, God's working in your life. Just turn to somebody and say that, please. Now turn to somebody else and say, God's working through your life. Now I'm going to turn my back, and now you're allowed to say, man, I hate it when preachers do stuff like that. I'll be really honest with you. I hate it when preachers do stuff like that too. But I thought today it's just too important, because we need to remember and we need to remind each other that God is working in our lives, because that is the thing that's so easy to forget. It's easy to forget that God's working in our lives and in our life together. Even in the good times, it's easy, but maybe in the bad times, it's not. On the mountain, it is, and in the valley, it's not. And it's so easy for us to lose sight and lose faith. It's so easy for us to believe the lie that we're on our own, or that we're supposed to do it on our own. It's so easy for us to get tangled up in the cares of this world and sometimes some of the insignificant details of what it means to do church together. Amen? We need to be reminded that God is at work in and through our lives, and that God is at work in and through our life together in the church. So this morning, that's what this is all about. I want to invite us to remember together by reconnecting with the God who redeems and rebuilds and restores and reconciles and renews. I want us to remember by recounting our story in light of God's story, to revisit those vows that some of us took when we went through the sacrament of baptism, or that were taken for us. Do you remember those? To renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, to reject the evil powers of this world, to repent of our sins. I want to invite us to remember by receiving once again the grace, the gift of God's grace that goes before us and that continues on with us every step of the way as we continue to walk in the ways that lead to life. And here's the amazing thing about all this. When we do that, God begins to do a work in and through our lives in such a way that all of our REs transform us into ERs. We become believers, followers, ministers, leaders, kingdom builders, world changers. We become a part of a community of brothers and sisters in Christ. We're helpers and healers and encouragers and comforters and difference makers. So as we come this morning, as we celebrate this Remembering Your Baptism Sunday, you're going to be invited to come and do some things. You're going to be invited to come and receive the bread and the juice this morning as a reminder of God's grace, this means of grace, Holy Communion. But you'll also be invited to come and receive water this morning. Again, this is not a rebaptizing. This is a remembering of our baptism. If you've never been baptized before, though, we would love to talk to you after the service about that and what that means, and if you'd like to receive that sacrament of holy baptism. But this morning, we're all invited to remember our baptism. So after you receive the bread and the juice, you'll be invited to come. Miriam and I will be next to those serving communion. And if you would like us to, we're going to make the sign of the cross with water on your forehead, and we're going to say, remember your baptism and be thankful. And then you're invited to take one of these little beads from the bowl as a symbol of baptism, as a reminder. I want to invite you to take it with you and maybe put it somewhere where you'll remember it, or put it in your pocket just to remember who you are and whose you are, where you belong, and how God is working in and through your life. So as we do all those things this morning, I invite you and me, us, to remember together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.